Ariel Roski, Sherelle Withers, our engineer, Teddy Robinson, assistant producer, Kevin Walker. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. In your heart and soul.
It's 10 o'clock. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. That was a program called Sojourner Truth Radio. Comes from KPFK in Los Angeles. Coming up next, it's Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre at 10:15. Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. Today, a look at Haiti and a couple other topics. At 11 o'clock, stay tuned for the Dirt Bag with gardening tips and tricks. Today, they're going to be speaking about pears. And they got a new garden stumper for you. Stay tuned for all that coming up on Community Radio KBOO.
Tune in Wednesday, August 13th at 2 p.m. when KBOO's Rita Rega will be talking to impresario George Ween, the creator of the Newport Jazz Festival. Listen to what this eyewitness to jazz history has to say about his festival and the film Jazz on a Summer's Day, playing Thursday, August 14th at the Clinton Street Theater. Again, that's George Ween, interviewed by KBOO's Rita Rega, Wednesday, August 13th at 2 p.m., here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to the Dirt Bag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's the Dirt Bag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
KBOO
Portland. Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
Today is Wednesday,
August 13th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a very exciting guest today. Sami Rasuli is the founder of the Muslim Peacemaker Teams in Iraq. In a recent interview with Democracy Now, he said, when the ISIS took over Mosul, right away, the Kurdish Peshmerga, the Kurdish power in northern Iraq, took over Kirkuk, the richest city in northern Iraq. Since 2003, the inner fight has been based on dividing Iraqis into sects and ethnic groups, Sunni, Shia, Arab, Kurd, religiously Christian and Muslim. That's what's going on after the invasion. Iraq was one piece, now we see it falling apart. This takes us straight back to 1958 with the coup and the fall of King Faisal I. If Americans had any knowledge of Iraqi history, and for that matter, culture, taking it all the way back to the Code of Hammurabi, from which arose all our Western laws, we might appreciate, we'll have a deeper appreciation and a deeper vertical understanding of the situation that we've currently created, basically. Good morning, Sami, and many thanks for joining. Excuse me, Peter. Good morning, Peter. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm hoping to have Sami Rasuli on the show as well. There's a lot going on right now in Iraq, and much of it the U.S. has created. I apologize. I've two different names in front of me. Good morning, Peter, and many, many thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, I hope it is okay if we are able to get Sammy Rastulli on the air with you also. I'm delighted that you're able to get through. So a lot is happening right now. France is apparently stepping to the forefront. The U.S. has basically, I think it's safe to say, created this situation through lack of understanding of the forces that are at work in Iraq. It seems like forcing a Western form of democracy on a people, well, not letting it, democracy emerge organically from the culture and the society, was mistake number one. And it was, of course, done for self-serving reasons. Can you talk a bit about the potential, possible fragmentation of Iraq? Is there any good that would come from that? How would these possible three nations, what would that look like? And we did break it. Are we fixing it now? What do you see about as far as the three-state solution, the two-state solution failing miserably in Israel and Palestine, and so now we've got the three-state solution in Iraq.
The dissolution of Iraq has been inevitable, literally from the first days after the American invasion, when Saddam was deposed and nothing was done to fill that power vacuum. America's pathetic experiments in Iraq, where we held election after election that were not representative. The 2006 election that put Maliki in power was boycotted by the Sunnis. The 2010 election that kept Maliki in power was contested at the very minimum, and Maliki's retention of power was handmaiden of Iranian influence. America had its eyes on the exits at that point in time. Meanwhile, while all that was bubbling along, the Kurds had established their own de facto nation with the acquiescence of the United States, and the Sunnis became further and further disfranchised by Baghdad as the United States stood back and watched. So this dissolution process is inevitable. It is unfolding before our eyes. And the more that America pretends that is not what's happening, by attempting to create yet another stooge government that will again explore the myth of unity in Baghdad, the longer we ignore the disillusion, the worse things will get. It's time now to change our policy and focus on trying to help and manage that disillusion towards the least bloody and chaotic end possible.
You write recently on Fire Dog Lake when the Iraqi Army 2nd Division fled Mosul earlier in the summer, that they left behind a mountain of U.S.-supplied military equipment. Now this equipment, much as I think we're seeing in Syria, that the armaments, the amount of military equipment that has flooded into this region, it looks like an open air market for weaponry, and whereas as the state falls apart, as Iraq obviously is doing, all of that is unleashed upon a lot of people who are already their lives have been disrupted. There's no way of calling that back, or should Iraq fall into pieces, it inevitably will. What happens to the armaments that are floating around the region?
That's very dangerous. I mean, the old saying about you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube applies to weapons as well as toothpaste. Every single time that a nation has released this kind of weaponry into the wild, you lose control of it. There's no way that you can control that. We've seen that in Libya, where the weapons that were released when Gaddafi fell have found their way all over northern Africa and into other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. We've seen that with the weapons that the United States released into Afghanistan when we were fighting the Soviets there.
And of course, more recently, the weapons in Iraq and the weapons that were supplied to the people in Syria. There's no way to control this. It gets out there and it goes in different places to the point where we have the almost amazing situation in Iraq where American weapons are being used to destroy other American weapons. About the only persons who might see any good in that are the arms manufacturers who are seeing double sales at this point, I guess, in some bizarre irony. The point is that America's response to this is to introduce more weapons into Iraq. It's now clear that we are overtly supplying weapons directly to the Kurds. I'll suggest that that has been going on covertly, but now we're doing it overtly. We're talking about sending more weapons to the government in Baghdad. And we may or may not still be shipping weapons into Syria. You can't solve a fire by throwing gasoline on it, but that seems to be what America's policy is.
It seems too that the total lack of understanding of the forces that are pulling the country apart. It will fall. It will obviously inevitably fall apart. There is some talk of the hopeful, wistful words about some type of strong, unifying, more or less secular type of ruler along the lines of King Faisal the First, and there was the very powerful royal family in Iraq before the coup in 1958, and then political chaos thereafter. That seems like wishful thinking. Would that serve as any sort of foundation for a form of uniquely Iraqi democracy, or is that just another dictator waiting in the wings?
I mean, I think that would be all in the realm of near fantasy at this point in Iraq. The tensions that were released in 2003 are going to settle themselves one way or the other. Nature finds a way, as people say. It is unclear to me that any leader that is capable of seizing power in Baghdad, which would require the approval of the Iranians, the tacit approval of the Americans, at least the passive cooperation of the Shia militias, it is unlikely that any leader who could thread that needle would be in a position to offer anything substantive to the Sunnis. If you're beholden to Shia Iran, if you're beholden to the Shia militias, I don't know what kind of substantive offers you could make to the Sunnis to convince them to lay down their arms. At the same time, you've got the third parties who are involved, the Turks, the Syrians, who are very involved on their border areas, and of course the funding for ISIS and the Sunni side, which appears to be coming from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. A strong Shia government in Baghdad seems something that those outside parties would be very loath to accept. ISIS itself, whatever it actually may be, I think we talk about ISIS like it's Procter & Gamble or General Motors, this monolithic singular structure. Whatever ISIS is, they're on the upswing. They're holding territory. They're succeeding militarily. They must be attracting support and fighters from all over the world, given that they've characterized themselves as the guardians of Islam against the United States. It's not clear what would motivate them to lay down their arms and leave the field. So while any kind of unity-type government in Iraq may fall into the hopeful category, I'm very afraid that it falls into the isn't-going-to-really-happen category more strongly.
Yeah, so but that bringing us to one final question for you, and that is with Maliki, it was a disaster anyway, right from the get go. You know, what a joke. Did you figure that what about the next guy up? What is your opinion of his skills as a statesman? And we have 30 seconds left, I'm afraid.
The next
that is a huge question.
Looks like you know, Mr. al-Abadi, is, as I mentioned earlier, going to be far too beholden to the Shia forces to do anything substantive for the Sunnis. He'll say the right things. He'll talk the talk to keep the American money and arms flowing. But at the end of the day, he is just another Maliki, maybe better spoken. But at the end of the day, the only thing that will happen in Iraq is the dissolution. And if that is not managed, it will be bloody, it will be chaotic, and it will be not to America's interests.
Thank you so much for that. We've been speaking with Peter Van Buren. There is more at Fire Dog Lake, and we've come to the end of this. Has been. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, August 13th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, Kathleen. In just briefly, Shaq, the Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty has been dissolved. That is the end of that story. And the Israeli scholar who came under fire for discussing rape as hypothetical deterrent to Hamas terrorism says the controversy over his remarks has done little to dampen interest in his planned speaking tour. There you go. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale coming soon, and we are accepting donations now. The sale will be held sometime this fall at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. The book and record sale is a great way to help contribute to your community. So do us and yourself a favor. Clear out those books, comics, DVDs, VHS tapes, LPs, and CDs collecting dust around your abode and bring them down to the station. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue during our business hours. Got questions? Contact Jesse at 503-231-